Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. I'm so happy that we are here together to share in this time. Let's just begin with an opening meditation, allowing the eyes to close and dropping within to that space inside that we all share. If you notice that your mind gets caught by thoughts of the day, thoughts of the past or the future, simply noticing the mind's tendency to drift and just calling that attention back to this awareness of this place of love within. And taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of this time and place. So again, welcome everybody. We're going to be picking up where we left off last week. If you have the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 207. The subtitle is Atonement as a Lesson in Sharing. If you have the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it's page 174. It's chapter 9, part 3, also called Atonement as a Lesson in Sharing. And if you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is page 168, chapter 9, part 4, The Holy Spirit's Plan of Forgiveness. Now, if you're reading from the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, you might notice some differences only from what I can see in terms of where the paragraphs start and stop. So if it seems like I've stopped mid-paragraph for you, it's because it's actually the end of the paragraph in the Sparkle edition, but it looks like the paragraphs were a little bit different in the FIP edition, but it should mostly be the same. All right, here we go. So I'll take it a paragraph or two at a time and pause for any reflections or insights or questions. Atonement as a lesson in sharing, or in the FIP, the Holy Spirit's plan of forgiveness. Atonement is for all, because it is the way to undo the belief that anything is for you alone. To forgive is to overlook. Look then beyond error, and do not let your perception rest upon it, for you will believe what your perception holds. Accept as true only what your brother is, if you would know yourself. Perceive what he is not, and you cannot know what you are because you see him falsely. Remember always that your identity is shared, and that its sharing is its reality. So I'll pause there. And I know the first thing that jumps out to me is how it talks about that second sentence, to forgive is to overlook. And then it says, look then beyond error and do not let your perception rest upon it, for you will believe what your perception holds. This, I feel like, is such an important point, to forgive is to overlook, because if we take on the role of forgiveness, if we take on the function of forgiveness for ourselves, we're going to think that we need to overlook error. We're going to think that we need to be the one to forgive, that we need to be the one to overlook, you know, something that's happening, or if somebody wrongs us in some way, we need to just overlook it. That's not what the Course is teaching. The Course is teaching us instead, we look to the Holy Spirit. That's how we overlook it, because the Holy Spirit is the one that knows how to truly overlook that which needs forgiveness. So forgiveness is really the role of the Holy Spirit. Our task is simply to turn to the Holy Spirit to let the Holy Spirit do that forgiveness for us. So thoughts, what comes up for anybody in this paragraph? Any questions or comments or insights?
Well, it's a tough one. It's really a tough one because it says, accept as true only what your brother is, if you would know yourself. And, you know, that upside down thinking is the problem, that he is something that he is not in truth, you know.
Right.
And it's really challenging to...
And yet at the same time, it can be really easy if accept as true only what your brother is, if you would know yourself. So our task really, too, with what this is saying, with like to forgive is to overlook, we need to simply be willing to see the Holy Spirit in our brother, that we can't of ourselves, again, accept what our brother truly is. If we want to know ourselves, we just have to have that willingness to see that which is true, and that's always the Holy Spirit in our mind joining with the Holy Spirit in the other person. So,
well, I'll tell you, you have talked so many times on this call about the conversation you were having with, I think it was a family member, and how they were talking kind of crazy, and you just kept going to the Holy Spirit with it, and all of a sudden the person said to you, I never realized I had an ego before.
Out of the blue, yep.
Out of the blue. Well, I had a conversation with my niece the other day that was so off the wall. I mean, my head was spinning. And I, you know, was becoming very judgmental in my mind. And then I remembered what you've been saying. And I tried it. Holy Spirit, give me, let's ascend this. Let's get above this. Please, Holy Spirit, help me. And I tell you, the conversation really shifted.
Mm-hmm.
And it by the time I got off the phone with her, I felt much better. I think it went very well. And what I realized when I got off the phone, because I was still, you know, feeling so judgmental, and, you know, I just kept asking for help with it. Come on, give me a better way to look at this. And what I got is, God, she just needed somebody to talk to, and she really trusted me enough to let it rip, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that was so, that felt good to me.
Yeah.
That felt like, you know, like maybe I helped her in some way.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, it makes me think of like when a brother is speaking insanely, if we start getting, and this just happened with a family member today, if we start getting angry at that person or frustrated because they're, you know, or you said the word judgmental. If we start getting, because this is happening to me too, if we start getting really judgmental towards them with what they're saying, we are now behaving as insanely as they are.
Oh, so, absolutely.
That's the hard thing to swallow, is that then, you know, we're the ones that need correction as well. And so entering into that instant where you're asking for help just like you did, is beautiful, because that's then, you know, where we know this.
Oh, it really, I'm amazed at how that works, Corinne.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's really
and
cool.
I guess
that's
just
really cool.
It's just that willingness to really let go of the whole thing, you know, and just let the Holy Spirit do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Could you say that really the Course is teaching, because I seem to be getting this more and more, that we really don't have our own mind. We either have the ego's mind or the Holy Spirit's mind.
Uh-huh.
Is that what it's saying?
Yeah, I love that. That's I think what you're saying, like the equivalent of being in our right mind, which is when we're listening to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through us, versus when we're listening to the ego, which is our wrong mind.
Right,
so
but
it's,
I mean, like
it's
the ego... We've always been kind of taught, like, we have our own mind.
Right, right.
Everything implies we have our own mind, and it seems like the Course, it's taken me years and years to get this, we don't really have our own mind. We have the separated mind, the ego mind, which is the one, you know, the more aware we become, we dislike this mind.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the Holy Spirit's mind. There's really nothing in between, like your own mind versus the Holy Spirit's mind versus the ego's mind. There's only those two minds. You really don't have your own mind. You're hooked into one or the other.
That's a really good point. You know, another word that just popped up for me for the ego mind is the personal mind. You know, that
the personal
there, you're right, there is no ego mind, my mind, Holy Spirit mind. It's the ego mind or the Holy Spirit mind. And the Course says the Holy Spirit is our higher mind. Like, that is part of who we are. It's a part of our mind that hasn't forgotten who we are.
That was another realization. The Holy Spirit really was kind of tricky. Like, I was thinking it was something else out there,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
part of the Trinity. But then mm-hmm, I did have a real, I mean, it came to me through other things and reading. And the Holy Spirit really is your right mind.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, with the whole, this just came up for me with when you said, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and thinking about it in terms of like three different, you know, as if it were three separate things. My sister,
yes,
who I mentioned was just here visiting, was at a gallery opening in New York City over the weekend, and she was sort of, you know, giggling that a very famous magician she met at this gallery opening, and she said she stumped him with a riddle, and it was a riddle that she came up with, she was inspired, you know, by, that just sort of came to her, and she asked him, you know, what is 1 + 1? And the obvious answer that we want to say is 2. But if you think about it as a spiritual answer, what is 1 + 1? 1. There's only
one.
Ever one. It's,
yeah,
it's all just one. So she's like, he didn't get it. I stumped him. She was so excited.
Oh.
Pretty funny.
Wow.
Cool.
Very cool. Let's read the next paragraph. You have a part to play in the atonement, but the plan of the atonement is beyond you. You do not know how to overlook errors, or you would not make them. It would merely be further error to think either that you do not make them or that you can correct them without a guide to correction. And if you do not follow this guide, your errors will not be corrected. The plan is not yours because of your limited ideas of what you are. This limitation is where all errors arise. The way to undo them, therefore, is not of you, but for you. So again, to me, this is re-emphasizing that we don't know how to overlook errors, or we wouldn't make them, and that we absolutely need a guide to that correction, because we can't correct them ourselves. Other thoughts and comments and questions? You know, I'll also add, too, just going back, Bob, to what you brought up about, you know, there's only, like, the personal mind or the Holy Spirit mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something that's really hard for us to grasp in, you know, this level of form of trying to comprehend or understand something of that nature. I've been getting so much benefit lately out of reading various books on near-death experiences, and I recently finished The Afterlife of Billy Fingers, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And he, you know, in every near-death experience that I've read about, these people have reported that they still maintain this awareness of self, but it's still connected to everything. So I think it's almost like, you know, our minds being in duality, we almost can't wrap our head around, you know, trying to understand what it's like. They all did still speak about, you know, having an awareness of
You know what? You know what? It kind of occurs to me with this is the and it's something I try to do when I'm quiet is become the observer of the thoughts,
mm-hmm,
and when you do that, a lot of times when I'm driving or I'm in the shower, it's so obvious to me the difference between the two voices, But you almost have to become the observer of those voices to determine which one am I. Well, of course, your feelings are the greatest determiner of which voice you're listening to, because if you don't feel good, you're obviously not listening to the voice for God.
Right. That's
right,
that's
Paul. I remember
beautiful.
You used to say that years ago, and I always thought, you know, don't listen to your feelings. Because they're just willy-nilly, and they'll just take you to all kinds of strange places, you know, try to be logical. But finally, I did start listening to you about that, and I realized it is true, because when the Course teaches you that when you feel at peace and the kind of happy dream you're in, then you're in your right mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you're upset and anxious or any kind of off feeling, you're in your wrong mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's
exactly.
That simple.
It's peace or not peace.
When I meditate in the morning, that's all I ask really is try to get to is a peaceful mind before I make up any kind of decision.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, rather than start from that place of anxiety,
you just can't
get your mind to settle.
Yep.
Right.
Because it's the wrong mind. It can't
right.
give you the right answer.
Right. Absolutely. And Paula, I really like how you said that, you know, becoming the observer of the thoughts. And you need that mindfulness. You need that ability to observe, to differentiate that there are, in fact, two voices in our minds,
yeah,
that we have two
yeah.
choices to choose between. So that mindfulness is so important. So key.
I really think it simplifies everything to think, you know, that there are just two voices and two choices.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Course is saying. Now, I was in a Course group this weekend, and they kind of disputed that with me and said they're reading something called A Course in Love that says there are three voices. Now, you know what? I don't care. I'm not getting into that. You know, whatever. But to me, it's simplified. Maybe the observer is the third. I don't know. But all I know is, you know, when I do become more of an observer, I can differentiate far better where I'm at.
That quiet witness. Beautiful. Let's take the next paragraph. The atonement is a lesson in sharing, which is given you because you have forgotten how to do it. The Holy Spirit merely reminds you of what is your natural ability. By reinterpreting the ability to attack, which you did make, into the ability to share, he translates what you have made into what God created. If you would accomplish this through him, you cannot look on your abilities through the eyes of the ego, or you will judge them as it does. All their harmfulness lies in its judgment. All their helpfulness lies in the judgment of the Holy Spirit. So again, I feel like this is saying the same thing. we don't know how to forgive. We don't know how to atone. We don't know how to have fear be, you know, how to undo fear in our own minds. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do that for us, and it's the Holy Spirit who reinterprets all of these things that we made, like attack, into opportunities, into abilities that are used instead on behalf of waking up.
Hmm. Spirit merely reminds you of what is your natural ability. Huh.
So what would our natural ability be?
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Atonement is a lesson in sharing, which is given you because you have forgotten how to do it. The Holy Spirit merely reminds you of what is your natural ability. Our natural ability is, again, communication. Communication with our source. We can call that, you know, being in love with a capital L. Creating, you know, they talk, and the Course talks a lot about creating on the level of formlessness versus making, which is what we do here. So I feel like there's a few different ways to say it. Does anybody else have any ideas come up about what that sentence reflects?
I just keep, when I hear this, when I have the reading the word sharing, I keep thinking of the word surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And I just keep getting this, like, the surrendering versus feeling like I have to do it on my own and that need to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of swinging between being right and like it's prideful feeling. And then when I'm in that place, then I have to swing to deceit, because if I'm not getting it right, then I'm wrong. And how, if I'm allowing myself to surrender to the Holy Spirit and this connection and communication that's sharing, then it takes the pressure off. And
the peace comes back.
And the peace comes back. And I also, I like this idea of communication too, because I was listening to, I don't know if you guys have heard of Bert Harding before.
No, I haven't.
He's been one of my favorite teachers for years. And he's been a student of the course, but he also teaches not a lot of non-dual teachings, and he does satsang. And he was talking about this is, and how, is reality. And, we're talking about that in the course, and how that madness is when you have questions, too many questions, that you can't even hear your questions. Like, we need to ask the questions, and then we wait for the answer, and the answer is in the is, it's in the love, it's in the peace. And when we feel confused and insane, it's because we're not allowing the questions. And then it just connects back to this, what we're reading here with sharing. It's that willingness to be able to share your questions, share everything that's coming up in whatever way that you can to release them.
Awesome.
I'm trying to think of an example of that. In that course group that I was in yesterday, we were sharing our feelings about stressful situations that are going on in our lives. And I said something like, in this situation, I feel doubtful. And so I feel doubtful in the present moment. And I realized, wait a minute, that's crazy. I feel confident in the present moment. Doubt is outside. Doubt is out there. It's that wondering and the pressure of, how am I going to solve this? And so just in that sharing, it was just, it was wonderful, because sometimes the ego is so, it's so subtle sometimes,
It is. It creeps back,
it's like,
in there.
It is just a nasty, it's upside down thinking. The course talks about upside down thinking. That was upside down thinking. Because in the moment, if I'm just in the moment, anything that's really concerning me, really just seems to dissipate in the moment.
Yeah.
When I, right now, right this moment, really, I haven't got a complaint.
That's awesome. I love it when we can recognize that. And, you reminded me, too, with the, Jen, with what you said, and Paula, with what you shared, that, when we're asking, like, help me see it different. Even with the willingness to see differently, I'm willing. Holy Spirit, help. If we're asking that many questions, or, even that willingness, obviously it's great that we're remembering to do so, but if we don't shush and get quiet and listen, we're not going to be able to hear what's
mm-hmm.
coming in. So,
absolutely.
So that stillness is so key with being able to hear the Holy Spirit's voice, to hear that answer.
Yeah,
you know,
I think that's great, because I think it's so hard to, if you grow up not knowing how to listen, you're used to asking and looking for outside confirmation. I think when we're looking for it from the outside, that's kind of this false asking, looking for the answers in the wrong place. And it's this process, it's this process where I just notice that with myself. Like, I keep going to, like, deeper levels with it, but, it doesn't happen all at once. Like, I think I would, I guess the part of my ego wants it to.
Right. And it's we again, that goes back to, that just made me think of, you know, that willingness to see where we still want things to be a certain way, or where we still, you know, have an agenda, that, you know, willingness and that brutal honesty, sometimes it's, you know, it can be embarrassing even to, like, you know, acknowledge some of the things that, you know, we might still be attached to, or, you know, whatever, but that's a good thing that we're willing to see that, because we can then be willing to take that spirit as well. Holy Spirit is not going to take from us what we're not giving. So if we keep anything hidden, it's just going to stay there until we're finally ready to bring it to the light.
Corinne, that is such a good point. That is, because yesterday in that sharing, I could feel the embarrassment come up. I could feel, I had a lot of fear around really letting it all out, you know, really being honest with what was going on inside. And one of the things was, oh, they're going to think I'm crazy, or they're not going to like me very much, or, you know, all of that, that concern about them out there and what they think. And it didn't turn out to be that way at all. They were very supportive and very kind.
Mm-hmm.
And it really felt good to get a lot of this stuff off of my chest, you know.
Yeah, awesome. Let's take the next paragraph. The ego, too, has a plan of forgiveness because you are asking for one, though not of the right teacher. The ego's plan, of course, makes no sense and will not work. By following it, you will merely place yourself in an impossible situation to which the ego always leads you. The ego's plan is to have you see error clearly first and then overlook it. Yet how can you overlook what you have made real? By seeing it clearly, you have made it real and cannot overlook it. So again, this is the ego's plan of forgiveness, and this is the type of forgiveness that, you know, the world teaches, with seeing the error, seeing, you know, that somebody wronged you or did something or whatever, and then, you know, taking the higher road and being willing to overlook it. And of course, I think, you know, all forgiveness ultimately is going in perhaps a positive direction, but again, this is like forgiveness on speed. This is, the course's path is a quick or a faster way of waking up, and so to being able to differentiate between, you know, the type of forgiveness that the world teaches and the type of forgiveness that the course is teaching, with simply that being, I love thinking of forgiveness as forgiving to the Holy Spirit. So that's all it is. It's just always taking what we see to the Holy Spirit to let the Holy Spirit reinterpret it for us. And that's where, with the example, Paula, that you brought up, that I've shared so many times, that time when I was on the phone with my family member and they were speaking nonsense, it was me in my mind, you know, I started feeling my anger building, and it was me digging my heels in with myself to just be willing to just focus on the Holy Spirit in them, period. And I let go of my agenda that would change their, you know, what they were saying, that they would do the right thing. And ultimately they started talking, but they were, you know, what they said shocked me, because they were suddenly aware that they were having an ego. But it's, you know, it's all about the course's plan of forgiveness. The Holy Spirit's plan of forgiveness is all about turning to the Holy Spirit, period.
And you know, when you really sincerely do that, you it's so genuine, because you really let it go. It's really it's letting it go. When I got off the phone with her, if I had not done that with my niece, I would be walking around carrying on in my mind about it, you know, and it would just be so disturbing. So when I got off the phone with her, I just felt the wonderful release of letting her be who she is, you know, not taking her as a prisoner in my mind and beating myself up with what the whole thing of how she should be living or how she should be thinking or what she should be doing. That is all so incredibly controlling. So really handing it over to the Holy Spirit is sanity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I have a question about that, because I was noticing that I was doing that last night when I was at dinner And I noticed that there was three friends, three of us together, and me and the one friend were trying to help our other friend, but I noticed we kind of kept interrupting her. And I caught myself noticing that we were both doing this, and I kind of said something out loud where I was like, oh, wait, we need to let, you know, this friend finish what she's saying because we're interrupting her. And I could see that the other person who was doing the same thing kind of was, like, taken aback, but she just continued to do it. And then it clicked, like, oh, wait a second, I need to go just within and go and just turn this over to the Holy Spirit. And me kind of correcting it is, you know, I could see it didn't help, you know, the situation. And I ended up feeling guilty about that. But then I noticed that when I went within and was focusing on the Holy Spirit, then there's a part which I believe is the ego that's making me feel guilty because then I'm not listening. Like, it's like you're not listening to them because you're now talking to the Holy Spirit.
Totally the ego. The ego trying to make us feel guilty for doing the course.
And I'm like, wait, like, is it okay that I'm not paying attention to these? Because there'll be a judgment, like, oh, the words they're saying are judgments. I'd rather focus on the Holy Spirit right now. But then I feel wrong because I'm saying that they're making judgments, and then also, like, feel like I'm distracted because I'm not in the conversation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But isn't that
this
a part of the
so
process,
eerie.
Really?
I heard Deidre and Paula.
What she was just saying, though, I think is part of the process that you have to go through, because then you have to take a look at that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that thought of, geez, I'm guilty now because I'm taking this to the Holy Spirit and I'm really not paying attention to her. That's all just a part of the process.
And
to realize, that's
taken.
Nuts. That's nuts. I'm helping her by going to the Holy Spirit, you know?
Right.
So it's like,
so it's all to be taken to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, so let's take the whole thing to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Deidre, I heard you say that this is eerie. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was very eerie, but it was someone else talking. I'll let them go
first.
Well,
I was just I'll you know, you finish, then I'll say something.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say that I was at dinner with my family last night, and these are family members that are not course students. So it was very interesting to observe myself because I was, through the course of the evening, like every topic that was discussed over dinner was fear-based, like everything that was brought up. And I was just sitting there and I was trying to process and observe myself and how I was responding and just allowing everything to be as it was. And I caught my Taz a few times, my ego, that's my name for my ego. I caught my Taz going, don't label this as fear because you're judging them. And then I was talking to the Holy Spirit at the same time as this was going on. And the Holy Spirit is going, no, don't listen to that voice because it's not, you're not condemning your brother to recognize that they're experiencing fear. So it was very bizarre for me. I don't know if anyone has ever experienced anything like that, but I had to come home and kind of process it because I was then using the guilt over the labeling, or what I was perceiving to be labeling, to then condemn myself, and that is definitely Taz. So it was just very, I don't know if you can relate to what I'm saying, but it was very bizarre.
Yeah, oh, I'm glad that you...
I can relate to it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I'm glad that you shared.
Yeah,
and I love how call your ego the Taz for the Tasmanian devil. It's so funny. I'm sorry, somebody was going to say something?
Yeah.
I was saying that I could relate because I had the same exact situation happened yesterday because I was in the car with my mom and a few other women, and it was funny because they were all the entire car ride was like so much that came up was fear based. Like, and I brought up at the very end of the day because we'd spent so much time together, and but I did it in this just kind of a humorous way because we all kind of, there was a humor to it. I was like, you know, it's funny. I was like, I've noticed you guys have talked a lot about like death situations like today. Like, they just talked a lot about like the news and, you know, crashes and like so many things. And because I kind of came with it with almost like this openness, just like an observation, they just kind of laughed like in response, and they just were like, oh, ha ha, yeah, you know, we're moms, so that's what we're thinking. And I actually was surprised because normally I would expect, like, I think because I went into just kind of acknowledging it but not judging it, then it became something that like lightened up the car instead of me like condemning them. Oh my God, you're talking about fear the whole time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I was going to say about forgiving.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you don't forgive, you know, you keep the past in the present forever. Nothing changes if you don't forgive. It
right.
stays the same. Like, I know a couple people I kind of know that have seen me as I was 10, 20 years ago. They still see me that way. They've never forgiven me. And then I, in turn, have, like, wakened up sometimes, and I realize I'm still mad at someone who's not even alive.
Mm.
So that the forgiveness, this lack of forgiveness, recognizing the sin and then not forgiving, keeps everything frozen in the past. Mm. Nothing changes. No one changes. There's no such thing as a present when you don't forgive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting.
It's so powerful. And
does
so,
that make any sense to anybody?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It makes
oh, yeah.
perfect sense. And that's the ego's plan. That the ego's plan is to keep the grudges, to keep, you know, the hurts, because that maintains, and I'm going to use Nook Sanchez's term here that I thought was so brilliant, that this is a closed circuit system. The ego's plan is to have us die, go through death before we wake up. So, you know, we'll keep doing this until, you know, and then we'll live again. Try out another ego. Try it out this way. Try it out that way. It's a closed circuit system, and it's through, and that's where, you know, holding on to grudges, that was said perfectly. It keeps the past in the present, and it keeps it all spinning.
It's a static system.
Yeah, it is a static system. Yep, it is a static
or
system. And so
stagnant.
It's that. Stagnant. I love it. I love it. I love
yeah.
it. It's the, again, the willingness to turn to the Holy Spirit that's sort of busting through that static or stagnant or, you know, closed circuit system, which as we turn to the Holy Spirit and have those miracles, that collapses the ego script. That means we're no longer listening to the ego and going through all the wonderful, and I'm being very sarcastic, you know, things that the ego has lined up for us because we're following a different teacher now.
Takes a lot of trust.
Lots of trust.
Well, that line, trust would settle all things now, just constantly comes into my mind when, you know, I'm in that fear-based mode.
Right, right.
When I realized upon my reflection when I came home, what was really the trigger was that I'm a really helpful person, and so my trigger tends to be like, If I see people, you know, dealing with or experiencing fear, there's a part of me still that sometimes wants to help in some way, but I'm learning that it's not my responsibility to do that. It's like the paragraph that we just read about doing the Holy Spirit's work for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that was the reason why I attracted that experience to me last night, is again to just relearn that lesson that it's you know, everyone is on, you know, where they're meant to be, and if our brother is experiencing fear, that's okay.
Yeah.
I think it's really for me it's more challenging with family members especially being the old matriarch here, you know. So that's, it's so helpful. It is so helpful to bring the Holy Spirit in when I see myself repeating that pattern, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what I was doing with my niece, you know. Oh, I was going to fix it for her. No, no, thank you.
Yeah.
You know what I've noticed that really started to stand out? You know, you can read, like I've been reading the Course since the 90s, and then I'm still getting new stuff from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reading about healing. I don't know which chapter. And it suddenly occurred to me that when you want to heal something, a relationship or physical or any kind of healing, you can't decide what to heal. Because, again, you have to just want the person to see the person as whole and complete. You can't decide what's wrong with them, and that part has to be healed. You have to turn the whole thing over to the Holy Spirit and let him do the deciding of what needs to be healed. So, I mean, it's not like you heal someone's arthritis by doing it that way. You're recognizing the arthritis and you're thinking about it. You just have to want healing of the whole person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Am I making any sense?
Oh my, that's absolutely, absolutely perfect because we.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
by deciding, we're verifying.
We're verifying.
If we decide that's what's wrong with that person, then we're making it real.
We're making it real. We're seeing them as a body, and in seeing them as a body, we're holding ourselves to our own body as well. And what is that? But if we're asking for a physical symptom, you know, some issue to be healed, we are saying that there's cause. You know, there's something out there that needs to be healed independently of my mind. If we, again, think about the Course's teaching on cause and effect, there we see that, you know, stubbed toe as a cause. It's causing me pain. That's an effect of the mind. And so we have to want, above all else, above anything specific, we have to want our perception to be healed. And as our perception heals, the body responds, or you know, the relationship heals because it is an effect of the mind.
Whatever has to be healed, that mind, the created mind, the source will heal whatever has to be healed. We don't have to worry about it. We just have to see that person and through peaceful eyes, through loving eyes. We want them to be happy and well.
Beautiful. Amen.
Yeah. And that's basically the message, you know, after I was able to calm my mind and stop the Taz from talking so loud. It's basically I just needed to step away and not do anything. And that's, a lot of times that's the answer, is do nothing, you know?
Right. Definitely. Let's go for another paragraph. This is where the ego, so okay, let's see. I'm going to read just the last two sentences of the
I just got a message that said, press star to return to the conference. Is that my own phone doing that?
It must be. Did anybody else hear that? I didn't hear anything.
No. Oh.
Yeah, no, it must be your line.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm just reading the last two sentences of the prior paragraph. Yet how can you overlook what you have made real? By seeing it clearly, you have made it real and cannot overlook it. This is where the ego is forced to appeal to mysteries and begins to insist that you must accept the meaningless to save yourself. Many have tried to do this in my name, forgetting that my words make perfect sense because they come from God. They are as sensible now as they ever were because they speak of ideas which are eternal. Forgiveness that is learned of me does not use fear to undo fear, nor does it make real the unreal and then destroy it. I'm going to keep reading. Forgiveness through the Holy Spirit lies simply in looking beyond error from the beginning and thus keeping it unreal for you. Do not let any belief in its realness enter your minds at all, or you will also believe that you must undo what you have made in order to be forgiven. What has no effect does not exist, and to the Holy Spirit, the effects of error are totally non-existent. By steadily and consistently canceling out all its effects, everywhere and in all respects, he teaches that the ego does not exist and proves it. Follow his teaching in forgiveness then, because forgiveness is his function, and he knows how to fulfill it perfectly. That is what we meant when we once said that miracles are natural, and when they do not occur, something has gone wrong. And I'll pause there. So the first thing that pops out to me here is the very first sentence that we read. This is where the ego is forced to appeal to mysteries and begins to insist that you must accept the meaningless to save yourself. The first thing that pops out, because I just wrote a blog post about this recently, is I used to love and use all the time the phrase, everything happens for a reason. You know, like, I don't understand this now, but everything happens for a reason, and so, you know, so I can just let it go. And that was useful for me, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But what I was sort of reflecting on is that everything happens for a reason is subtly indicating that I think that God is doing it to me. That, you know, it's some mystery that's going to be revealed to me later on down the road because, you know, God is doing it to me. And that's an error. That the Course clearly states over and over and over that God would never, ever, the Holy Spirit never would cause us pain. The Holy Spirit is not teaching us lessons. It's, again, either our ego calling forth experiences or when we're in our right minds, it's, you know, we're waking up. We're learning to see through love. So that sentence just really jumps out at me in that the Course is very logical, it's very clear, and we don't have to, you know, accept that this is just a mystery and maybe one day I'll understand it. We just have to be willing to see it differently.
You know, that's really pretty cool because something happened at work this week that was just so bizarre, and that's what I thought. Well, it happened for a reason, but I don't understand. I don't get it. And it just, none of it felt right to me. And that's why it didn't feel right to me. Because, you're in a sense blaming God. On some level, God made that happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And no, God has nothing to do with that nonsense.
Right, right.
I kind of feel like we get on, when we're on a negative vibration, negative things happen. You know,
yeah,
and
when we're listening to the ego, we're calling forth ego experiences.
You're calling forth ego. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But when I'm in alignment, when I'm focused and I'm in alignment, my life goes very well.
Mm-hmm.
Goes beautifully.
Yes, it does.
Thank you. Thank you for going over that and clarifying that.
Yeah. Oh, of course. That jumped out big to me. Like I said, because I recently wrote about that. And the other thing that really stands out to me about it was more towards the end of what we just read, where by steadily and consistently canceling out all its effects everywhere and in all respects, he, the Holy Spirit, teaches that the ego does not exist and proves it. And then the last sentence, it says, that is what we meant when we once said that miracles are natural. When they do not occur, something has gone wrong. So if we're looking to the Holy Spirit, we're letting the Holy Spirit do its thing, we're going to experience those miracles. If miracles aren't happening, it's because we're not turning to the Holy Spirit. It's because we're trying to do it ourselves, and we can't do that of ourselves. So that was the other thing that popped out of me. So I'm wondering what came up for anyone else.
Well, the idea of planning keeps coming up, you know, and because I want to plan my future.
You know?
Now, if that isn't Taz, I don't know what is. Because the ego, is, you know, that really is the ego. That's pushing you out there, and you're constantly thinking outside of the moment, you know.
Right.
And, of course, you're not going to be in alignment. You're going to feel anxiety and stress and pressure because you're not here and now. You're not even thinking. It says if you're not thinking with God, you're not thinking at all.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I often find myself in that kind of non-thinking place. And, you know, I think Bob really hit the nail on the head by saying, first thing in the morning, help.
Yeah.
You know, help me with this today.
Yes, yes. Awesome.
Did I say that?
Yes, you did. You just before you, you said, when I get up in the morning, the first thing I do,
go on,
you know, is get in alignment.
I did say that?
Oh. Earlier. I didn't, I'm not using your exact words.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I heard it too, Bob.
Oh, well, you know, shows you how much I'm in the present. I don't even remember saying that.
He let it go long ago.
Oh, anybody else have any reflections, any insights or examples or anything that has come up as we've been reading?
Well, like what you were just saying, Paula, you know the chapter that says a new beginning, you know, and that's where you start making decisions about your day and the kind of day you want to have, and with you, you know, your future you want to plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it says, well, you can't make any decisions by yourself, and yet it says decide the kind of day you want to have. That was like... For a while, I never quite got that. It almost seemed like a contradiction. And then somewhere I either read or I don't know where I got it, but then it became clear to me, you decide the content that you want to have, but not the form it'll take. You know, do you understand the difference?
Yeah, and what is
you know, the content always?
The content. You want the happiness,
peace.
The peace.
Love.
How it's going to come to you, Paula,
it's up to God.
I mean, you could be probably in the middle of a, you know, garbage dump or a sanitation plant and have it.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Who knows?
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Because, Paula, every time I'm around you, I get the feeling you're kind of happy.
Well, yeah, basically I am.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, this is what we're talking about. This ego is background noise.
Mm-hmm. And we're learning how to not listen to it.
And we're learning how not to listen to it, exactly.
And notice how your background noise changes every week.
Oh,
think about what your background
God.
Noise was a month ago.
Oh.
How about yesterday? An hour ago. Oh, wow. Well, we're at the top of the hour, so thank you, everybody, so much for sharing and for being here. So I truly appreciate it, and we'll resume where we left off next week. So thank you so much.
Yeah,
have
thank
a great
you.
Week. Good night.
I enjoyed it.
Bye-bye. Thanks
okay.
so much.
Thank you. Good night.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.